The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the bread from heaven. Amen. This week's gospel text continues from the text that we had last week. Jesus says, you want manna from heaven like your ancestors got, but I'm telling you, I'm the manna from heaven. I'm the bread from heaven. And then this week he reiterates that point, and again next week he's going to reiterate that point. We've got bread, I am the bread conversation for 4 weeks in a row. So it's important for us to trace these statements back to what, we can trace them all the way back to Israel long before this. So, and I know we've traced these words before, but I can't remember when, and it always bears repeating. If this were a movie, we'd get some wavy, blurry lines and like a harp or something that's going to bring us back in time to when, all the way back in time, to when Moses is walking out in the desert and he sees a bush that's on fire, but the bush isn't burning up, and he's curious about it, so he goes toward it. And the voice of the Lord comes to him and says, take your shoes off, Moses. You are standing on holy ground. And it doesn't actually say whether he took his shoes off or not, but I'm guessing if a burning, not burning bush speaks to you and the presence of God is clearly in it, you probably take the shoes off. And if he wasn't convinced at first, when the voice in the bush said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He was definitely convinced at that point because he hid his face, it says. He hid his face so as not to be looking at God because for God was not to be seen, not to be made an image of, they would say if you can't survive looking at the face of God, there's too much power in it. So upon hearing the voice of God declaring that it was actually God speaking, Moses believed. And then Exodus 3, verse 11 and following, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt, which is what the voice in the bush had asked him to do. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And God said to Moses, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of our fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Well, he does. And ultimately, it works. And the God who spoke in the burning bush, the God who heard the cries of the Israelites in bondage, the God who sent Moses to confront Pharaoh, the God who sent plagues until those in power accepted that God was in power. The God who says, "Call me I am," brings the slaves to freedom. When Jesus, who is the Son of God and is the presence of God on earth, not in a burning bush that's not burning, but in a human form, when from Jesus' human lips come the words, "I am," it is not lost on the Jewish sisters and brothers that are standing with him. They know who they are. They know where they have come from, how God, who is I am, brought their ancestors out of bondage and led them to the promised land and gave them a home. When a man they know comes from God, they've said it over and over, who has the power of God, says in Greek, ego eimi, I am, they know to pay attention in a very particular way. But he doesn't stop with I am or I am who I am, like the voice in the bush did, but Jesus has many I am statements, especially in John's gospel, which is where we're dwelling for a few weeks. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. I am the true vine. I am the gate for the sheep. And I am the bread of life. I am the bread that has come from heaven. So God here on earth opens his mouth and says, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. He says, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He says, your ancestors were given quail and manna to eat in the wilderness, but eventually they died. I'm telling you today, he says, that I am the bread that will feed you forever. I am the bread that is changing everything. God has always cared for and freed and claimed Israel. But in me, Jesus says, God is upping the promise. This bread will nourish you forever and you will never be hungry. If you draw near to and believe in me, he says, you will never be hungry. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So we have to ask, what's this bread for? The life of the world. It's not just Israel anymore. It's not just Galilee or Jerusalem or wherever the 12 tribes have settled. The promise and the gift is bread for the life of the world. And the gift, he says, is my flesh. Jesus is not telling us a promise. Jesus is a promise. His body, the flesh that he inhabits, while his divinity has been woven with humanity, that's the bread which will never fail. His flesh, which is 100% God and 100% human, is the promise. In our baptisms, we are swept up, stitched into the life of God, sealed and claimed and marked forever by the Spirit. We are not Christ, but we are joined to Christ. We are not God, but we are of God, of God's image, of God's light. We actually shine in the darkness. As the saying goes, Christ has no body but yours here on earth today. So go be Christ's body in the world. Because actual human hunger that is satiated by bread that we bake in the oven still exists. It causes headaches and distended bellies and illness and physical death. And we are to feed the hungry with radical generosity. And how could we not? feed the hungry, or advocate for the oppressed, or step toward the marginalized if we are the actual hands and feet of Christ on this earth. If we are the living, breathing presence of Christ's body in the world, how could we ever discern that helping every last neighbor is not our call? But Jesus is talking about a different hunger and a different bread. This flesh that is the gift Jesus gives for the life of the world cannot be overcome. It cannot be forced into a grave and remain. It cannot be emptied of its love. This flesh that is the gift Jesus gives for the life of the world can take all evil and sin unto itself and redeem it. And in our baptisms, we are stitched into that body. And at the table, we are nourished by that body. And because death simply cannot separate us from Christ, we are all joined to Christ. That means when a person dies, we are still united with them. We say it every single week, and we will say it again this week. In the third article of the Apostles' Creed, the part about the Holy Spirit, we say, I believe in the communion of saints. Communion. Communion. Com means with, and union means with. With unity, with together, withness. I believe in the connectedness, togetherness, unity of the saints. We share Holy Communion every week, and if we break down the words, what we share is holy unity every week. Unity with Christ, unity with each other, unity that has no end. So it means that Ken is still at the table every week, and it means that Rodney is still at the table every week. It means Betty is still at the table every week, and Juanita is still at the table every week. It means Charlie and your beloved grandparents and parents and siblings and children and spouses and friends are still at the table every time we gather. It is a table, as we say, that can only get bigger. For whoever eats of this bread will never die. And this bread is for the life of the world. Forever. You will never be hungry.